few weeks ago up at the Episcopal Conference Center, where I have the privilege of serving as director, we had a winter conference for high school students. These conferences are always fun because we have a much smaller group of teens than we do in the summer. And the more intimate weekend at camp during a different season gives us the chance to do some things together that just aren't possible in the summer. On the first night, Friday evening of the weekend, I had to come up with some kind of evening program for the teens, something fun. As a rule, unless it's too cold outside, I like to send them out to do something silly and ridiculous around the property. Those who have worked with me for some time will tell you I'm a big fan of the scavenger hunt. But I like to just give them a chance to run around the main program areas in the dark. It's not something they can do in the summer. There's too many people and really not enough darkness in the evening. So sending them out to find hidden envelopes, Easter eggs, or something like that with impossible clues tends to be fun and a safe way for them to freak themselves out a little bit. At this particular weekend, I didn't really have the chance to pull together a scavenger hunt, and instead decided that it would be fun to have the groups go out in search of some of my counselors, all of whom were very well hidden around the property. I would like to quickly reiterate that this was an older group of campers, and this was a very safe activity. I gave them the parameters for where the counselors might be hidden, I broke them up into groups, and I gave them strict instructions that they had to stay together or else their team would be disqualified. When I asked if there were any questions, one camper raised his hand. "I notice it's kind of dark outside. Are you going to give us a flashlight?" "Of course not," I responded. "That's part of the fun." The kids laughed and excitedly ran out of the room to begin the search. I suited up as well to go out and stand in the middle of our big ball field there, knowing that I would inevitably have to provide some extra clues for them for where the counselors were hiding. I got out to the middle of the ball field and looked around. Something I had failed to notice was that there was no moon that evening. It was pretty dark outside. It was dark where I was standing in the field where there was a little bit of starlight, and it was especially dark past the tree line on your way to the girls' area where, of course, one of the counselors was hiding. Turning to one of my coworkers, I commented, "I suppose I could have at least considered giving them a flashlight." As is always the case, the young people at camp that night embraced the activity completely. They ran around together in groups, laughing and yelling. They searched diligently for the counselors and ran away from me excitedly after getting clues that they needed. I heard small celebrations erupt from the darkness when they discovered someone in a hiding spot. They were, as they always are, kind and compassionate towards one another during an activity that likely put people on edge just a little bit. And their kindness carried them through. They finished the evening talking about their adventures and laughing about their missteps and mishaps. I keep reflecting on that night in the woods at camp this week as we approach this solemn day in our church. Good Friday always causes me to think about darkness. Those of us who will attend church today, never quite as many as who attend on Sunday, have made a choice to enter into the darkness of this day. And even though we've gathered here in the middle of the day, to me, this time always feels very, very dark. It's as if we're standing at that tree line in the camp property, about to step out of the field, which has the twinkle of starlight, and plunge ourselves into the blackness of the tree cover. I will admit to you that every year I dread this day. For what it's worth, I don't often choose to pass the tree line at camp either. Those young people were braver than me. And that carries into all of the corners of my life. Every year, I would like to skip this day. But then some rector somewhere asks me to be a guest preacher, and for reasons I'll never understand, I say yes. Maybe because I know the only way I'll get here is if I have to be. So here we are, plunged into the metaphorical darkness of Good Friday, facing Christ's death and despair on the cross, facing the heartbreak that this story brings year after year. No bells, no flowers, no trumpets, just sadness and darkness and death. I can't help but think that after this week in our world, The darkness of this day seems kind of fitting. This story we hear today, political corruption, religious fighting and misunderstanding, mob mentality turning dangerous, hatred and violence. We don't need to work too hard to find a parallel in today's world. Akin to how I don't tend to walk past the tree line into the darkness, I don't turn on the television or listen to the news much these days. It is too hard. Our world feels very dark right now. And on the rare occasion I am not overwhelmed with world events, life happens. And personal tragedies happen to people that I love. There is no escaping sadness and heartache as much as I might wish there could be. But I do think that that's one of the reasons this day is so important. This day is countercultural. It is counterintuitive. Because in a society that loves to offer us solutions to our pain, shop more, eat more, drink more, social media more, and with humans that just love to reach for these remedies, this day tells us to just stop. Just sit here in the darkness. Don't try to fix it. Don't try to fast forward through this. Don't pretend the darkness isn't there. Just sit here. And what do you see? What do you experience here in the darkness? You know what I see this year? This week, as we hear this story told in different ways through Palm Sunday, through our Maundy Thursday service, and tonight, I see compassion. I see kindness. I see tenderness. I see Jesus Christ's incredible and beautiful refusal to become part of a broken system of violence and hatred and oppression. I see my God, faithful and gentle to the end, even in the face of his tragic death on the cross. I see him refuse to engage in the fight. I see him heal. I see him forgive. I see him care for his disciples and for his mother. I see him give of himself until his very last moment alive. I see compassion. I see kindness. I see tenderness. And suddenly, miraculously, the darkness does not seem as dark. Once again, we learn here from Jesus, as he has tried to teach us so many times before, that hatred does not change lives. Fighting and judging and name-calling does not heal. The fear that grabs hold of us, if we are not careful, will turn our hearts hard. Instead, this day and every day, he shows us that love transforms, that compassion heals, that tenderness softens our hearts. He shows us that the world changes if we change. He shows us that God never abandons us, and we cannot abandon one another. Nobody likes being in the darkness because it's so easy to get lost in our own despair when we are there. It's too easy to think that we're powerless and that we simply have to wait until someone comes along with the light. We can fall into that trap today too, thinking that we simply have to get through Good Friday so that we can celebrate the bright light of Easter morning and Christ's glorious resurrection over death. We know that it's coming. But we want to be careful not to lose sight of the beautiful lessons that we are taught on this day. We don't want to miss the lessons that we always learn in the darkness, if we can just take a deep breath and be present when it comes. Maybe you feel a little powerless over the darkness right now, in your own life, in your Christian life, or in the world. But Christ shows us today that we always have a choice to how we respond in the darkness. We can become brittle with fear and lash out at one another. Or we can choose compassion, kindness, and tenderness. I think our natural human reaction when we're confused and afraid is to scrunch our shoulders, to huddle in, to try to protect ourselves and our hearts. And it takes tremendous courage to instead follow Christ's example, to loosen our posture, and to reach our arms out in love. But God's powerful love, shared through each one of us, is what transforms this world. God's love does bring the light. And we need the reminder now more than ever that we want to be part of the bringing about of that light. Loving in the face of fear, being compassionate, kind, and tender towards one another, even when we are hurt and afraid. That night at camp, my kids could have dissolved into fighting in the darkness. It was chilly, and the activity was a little ridiculous, and I really didn't give them the right tools that they needed to do it. They had no need to dissolve into fighting because they knew that they were somewhere where they were safe and loved. When we know deep down that we are safe and loved, it is easier to be compassionate. It is easier to be kind. It is easier to be brave. It is my hope that this week, this day, this weekend reminds you how deeply you are loved. And while we can't necessarily be assured of safety in this world, we can be assured that we are safe in the arms of God. Don't let Christ's death on this day be in vain. We can live into Christ's powerful example of compassion, kindness, and tenderness, even in the darkest moments. And maybe then our darkness won't seem quite so dark. Amen.